What would you look for in an ideal candidate for higher office? Recent news has given us examples from the two far ends of the spectrum. I suspect most people, all people here, probably would be delighted to have a candidate with the vision and integrity and strength of character of the late Nelson Mandela. And just about everybody here would love to avoid somebody like Toronto Mayor Rob Bell. But between these two spectrums, ends of the spectrum, there is a lot of territory to cover. And if we were to distribute a survey and ask people to offer their thoughts about political platforms and electoral viability and ability to raise money and connect with voters and their attractiveness as a person, I suspect we'd have almost as many responses as we do people in this room. So why am I even bringing up this topic? It's not as if between TV and the newspaper and the internet, we don't have enough going on about politics in our world. And I suspect many folks would just assume that the word politics never be uttered in church anyway. This is a place to come for spiritual comfort, where we should be able to leave aside the concerns of the world, talk about God and holy things. Well, unfortunately, Scripture doesn't give us that out, does it? If we're listening to this morning's passages from Psalm and from Matthew, we hear talk about leadership and what about an ideal ruler would be like. Think about those words from Psalm 72 about the plea for a king who will minister righteousness and justice and look out for the poor. Now, these might seem like obvious things for a ruler to do. Indeed, this was a motif that could be found throughout the ancient Near East. It was the responsibility of the king to look out for the poor and downtrodden. And even though this more often than not did not happen, it was still at least an expectation. But in Israel, there was a twist on this. And it had to do with where the power of the king came from. Throughout the Near East, it was believed that the king was the regent of the deity. All power flowed from the divine to the monarch. And that was it. There was no responsibility for the king to the people. Kings of Judah and Israel were attracted by this notion, not surprisingly. But they had to deal with the prophets who kept reading them the Riot Act, calling them back, reminding them that the covenant was not just between God and the king. It was between God and the people. And so we see this psalm conveying this message. We listen carefully and we hear the two final verses that were read this morning, and we see that all the power, all the glory belongs to God. Now, one thing we did not read this morning, but you could see in your pew Bible, is a superscription for this passage. And it says that it was a psalm of Solomon. So just imagine that. The king himself is asking that the king will behave in this way, that he will have the strength to do these things. He may not follow through, but at least he is sharing an expectation. So what does any of this have to do with Advent? Everything. After all, what are you and I doing here during Advent? Who are we waiting for? What are we anticipating? The Christ child. And just who is this baby who is going to appear? God incarnate, the one true ruler, the King. Oh yes, during this season we will see images of little babies, infants that we want to cuddle and coddle and coo at. There'll be imagery of domestic bliss, the gentle mother holding her son. But lest we forget who that son grows up to be, we have John the Baptist telling us, wake up, repent, get ready. Jesus is coming. What do you look for in a candidate for high office? What do I look for? Someone who can lower taxes, deliver better services, keep our community safe. The list can go on. But our agenda is not God's agenda. And that's one of the things that we are called to focus on during this Advent season. Because the King, the ideal candidate put forward in Scripture, isn't focused on us and what we want, but is focused instead on doing God's work. Work that all of us are invited to do too. Do we want this candidate? Are we ready for this candidate? No wonder we have a season of preparation. This is shocking stuff. Now, John may not be the best salesman to make the case for the King, at least in today's world. Could you ever imagine someone going on TV and saying, "You brood of vipers, change now. I approve of this message." Don't think so. But John has harsh words because this world is defined by a harsh reality. We have strayed. We have wandered off. We don't follow the path of Jesus. Oh no, all too often we follow our own path. And sometimes it takes us to good places and other times not. But we have the opportunity now to turn in a new direction, to think about the King who is coming, and to not ask what he will do for us, but to ask what we will do for him and his creation. So this Advent season, let us all take time to think about what we are looking for in a leader and to recognize the one leader we really truly need is coming and will be here soon. And thankfully, he has given us time to prepare to welcome him into our world and into our hearts.